Welcome to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast, where we talk about topics and resources that help you lead more to reach more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. And welcome to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. I'm Tom Bump, and I'm your host. And today we are going to be diving in on a topic where I know there are some challenges and some lessons that we're all learning during this pandemic time as leaders. And it just seems like we're opening up more and more questions, and sometimes we're not always getting all the answers we want yet. But I do think that this is a unique time for the church to come together and to dialogue and to gain more understanding. So I think this episode is going to be really helpful for a lot of us as we think about some of the challenges that we are facing. My guest today is a great leader. I've just gotten to know her a little bit over the last few months and missed my chance to hang out with her at CPC. I felt so bad about that. I'm still feeling guilty, Kim.
Not feel bad.
But Kim Botto is a fantastic leader who does a lot of speaking in a variety of topics, but you've been passionate about special needs ministry and kids with challenges over the last couple of years. And I'm excited because we get a chance to dialogue about this. And I was just telling Kim off air, we haven't done a lot of talking about these kind of areas and what the church can do to minister to all families. And so I'm looking forward to this. But Kim, this is your first time on the Kid Ministry Collective podcast, so welcome. We're glad to have you.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about you and your ministry.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm the mom of five and the Gigi of seven, soon to be eight, with the oldest one being five. So we had just a burst of grandkids. So that's really fun. And I've been doing ministry with kids since I was in high school, and have been on staff at the local church for, gosh, almost 20 years. And I've been in my current position for 15, or my current church for 15, where I lead the kids and student ministry, as well as initiatives around adoption and foster care. And we have sites in Ohio and Kentucky.
That is awesome. That is awesome. So I'm up in Northern Ohio. She's in Southern Ohio. That's really cool. So, you know, Kim, one of the things that I'm hearing from a lot of different Facebook groups, including the Kid Ministry Collective group, is that there's a lot of leaders that are spending a lot of time in preparing curriculum, editing curriculum, making videos, hosting game nights, all these kind of things, and they're seeing engagement drop. And so while we're not going to dive completely into the special needs stuff, we are going to do a Facebook Live. So guys, be watching the page. We'll get Kim on to talk about that. But I wanted to engage with you because you wrote a great article for church leaders to think about when it comes to this idea of how to keep families engaged during this time. And so I want to dive in on some of that. And so when we do these podcasts, we always start off with a why question. And so I wanted to ask you, why do you think leaders are seeing such a drop off in this connection of we're putting out all this resource and materials to families? Why are you feeling like there's a drop-off in that? Why are people starting to disengage from what we're providing?
Well, if you talk to any parent who has school-age children at home, or even younger, you know, toddlers and preschoolers, they are overwhelmed because all of a sudden they've gone from a lot of them who are working at home. They're now, instead of just being the parent and having a job outside the home, all of a sudden they're still a parent and they're in their home and they're trying to be a teacher to their kids using technology they're not familiar with, working with teachers who are doing an incredible job who are also trying to figure it out. And everybody is incredibly stressed out. Kids are spending much more time in front of the computer during the school day than they typically would. And I think parents, they want to disconnect from the screens. I also think we have to look at, because I've talked to church leaders who are saying, they're just not watching my stuff. How do I get them to watch my stuff? And I said, maybe you're asking the wrong question. Maybe the question is, am I providing them what they need? And maybe the stuff that we're putting online isn't the stuff that they need right now. And what I found is what parents want, and what we've been doing is what parents want is they want connection. So yeah. We've been calling parents. We are calling every single called every single family in our church. And just, we ask the same thing, you know, hey, I'm Kim from Crossroads. Just wanted to check in on you. How are you doing? It's been amazing the stuff that parents will tell us. And then we ask if they have any specific needs. And then we ask how we can pray for them. And then we pray for them right there. Mm. That has met a huge need. And that may be a bigger need than putting something additional that kids and families can watch on the screen. And also, there's a lot of stuff out there on the screen already. And when we create stuff, we have to remember we're competing with Disney and Pixar. yes. And they have, I would imagine they have more resources than any children's ministry out there.
Yeah, I kind of think that they have the run on that kind of stuff. And and you're right. And that's why I'm thankful that we can talk about this topic, because I do see there's some discouragement creeping in. And that breaks my heart as a leader and as a ministry coach. And I've tried to work with some of the students that I have to just encourage them to focus on what you can do, not on what you can't. And you don't have to compare yourself. There are great leaders out there that are putting out lots of content, and they're very creative, and they're engaging and all that. But you kind of wonder sometimes how many views are they really getting anymore? Because I do agree. I think people are starting to go, okay, I'm getting Zoom fatigue. I'm getting screen fatigue. I'm even getting Disney Plus fatigue. And so those views are dropping. And so I think as leaders, we've got to start thinking about this. So why is that? And I think what you hit on is right. Connection. I think parents especially just want somebody to talk to them and listen to them, especially if they've been surrounded by littles all day long. Right. It'd be nice to have some other human, adult human.
Right. So you might have to make your calls at 8:30 at night.
Yeah.
Once the kids are in bed. And I think too, there's something about when we put something online, then we feel like we can measure it. We can count it. So what I tell people is make yourself a spreadsheet with your families. And start counting the phone calls you're making. Start counting the texts you're making. We are sending cards to every single kid in our ministry. And it's not us that's doing it. It's the volunteers. We're counting those cards. And the reason we're doing that is because then people can say, they can look and they can see, oh, I am making progress. Yeah. I personally connected with 20 families this week, which is probably more than we did in the old world.
Wow. That's good. That's real good.
Count it.
So I was just going to ask, because that's my next question, is what some of the observations that you've made about the church and how it's serving families during this time? That's a great one right there.
Well,
we're going a little old school, and that's good.
Oh, and people love old school.
Yeah.
We have multiple sites. And so one of our site directors, before we even closed down, when she knew it was coming, she got a cooler and put it outside of her church office building. So it was out, you know, by the outside door. And she put all kinds of cards in there, cards and envelopes. And people, volunteers, could then come by, pick up what they wanted. And then she would give them the names of kids in their class. And the volunteers did it all. It was super cute. Some volunteers put balloons in. Some volunteers made paper airplanes and stuck paper airplanes in there. And then they would drop them back off at the church, and then the staff would address and put postage on them. And some volunteers said, oh, no, I'll put postage on them, and I know where my kid lives, so I'll drop it off. That has been so great, because people still love snail mail, and they don't get it. Yep. So it's unique. We've also had teachers that have, and I've seen a lot of church ministry leaders do this, where the leaders will create an individual video, and they might say the same thing every time, but in every video, they say the kid's name. Hi, Tom. It's Miss Kim from the 2-year-old room. I really miss you. I'm having fun. Look, I'm making a paper airplane. And oh, I'm going to fly it to you. And I'm going to drop it off at your house tomorrow. You don't even have to go that much. You can just say, hi, Tom. It's Miss Kim. They love hearing their name. Yep. They love seeing a familiar face. And then just text it or email it to their parent.
Love it. I love it. I love it.
It's been super fun. I've been loving watching the Kidman pages, seeing what different parent, you know, different people are doing. I've also, on our team, we have one of our staff who she's picking one family a week, and she just drops off family game night stuff on their porch. So it might be a card deck of Uno. It might be some microwave popcorn. You know, just some things to do together, because I think sometimes, especially if we're in a larger church, we become so overwhelmed with the numbers. I think, well, we can't do that for everybody. And what we keep saying is, do for one what you wish you could do for all.
Yes.
And I bought a helium tank as soon as the pandemic hit. So I've been blowing up balloons and just dropping them off at people's houses.
Awesome. That's so cool. I mean, and you're right. The creativity that I've seen, I will say, that's what I see coming out of this is something that, yes, I hope will continue.
Yes.
Is that we continue to start thinking a little bit less programming and a little more people and connection. And because I think that's so huge, and that's something that revealed to us, I think, the church, I think we thought we were well connected. And I think now we're seeing there was some gaps there.
Absolutely.
We weren't quite as connected as we thought we could be. And I think that's one of the good things out of this pandemic that I'm seeing is that churches are starting to serve the family more and connect with them, figuring out how, yes, do I connect with them in better ways. And little things like that. It doesn't take a big event to connect with families.
No.
And we are so big event driven nowadays, it feels like, that I'm really happy to see that we're starting to think of little things. You know, balloon to a kid or a paper airplane to a kid is huge.
Right. Well, that's why, and you can buy helium tanks. I got mine for $26 from Target. They're not that expensive. It came with, I think, 60 balloons. It's just not that hard. And kids are a super easy audience. They love stuff. Yeah. I, with the grandkids not being able to see them physically, the other day I came across a whole stack of old school pictures of their parents. And so I put it in an envelope with old Christmas cards, because they love pictures, and sent it to them. And my kid said that was one of the favorite things they got. You know, I spend $30 on buying a name brand doll baby carrier for a kid. She doesn't care about that, but something simple. So sometimes we just make it too hard.
Yes. Yeah. So let me ask you, what are some of the questions that you feel like leaders should be asking themselves right now during this time?
Well, I go back to what you asked originally is when we produce stuff, why aren't people watching? Mm-hmm. So I think we should be asking ourselves, what is their behavior saying to us? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes if we ask a parent, what do they need? They can't even tell us because they're so overwhelmed, yes, but we can look at their behavior. And if we put stuff online and they're not watching it, well, I think that might be telling us that either the content isn't something they need or they just don't want to watch it online. If we call them at 8:30 at night and they talk to us for 20 minutes, their behavior is telling us, I need adult conversation.
Yes.
I need you to be supporting and helping me. So I think we really need to listen to what their behavior is saying to us. And I think everybody for years, you know, we've said, how can we reach more people outside the building? Well, now this is an awesome opportunity because nobody's in the building. Everybody's outside of the building. Yeah. So I think some of the questions we should be asking us is what has been effective to reach people outside the building? Because even when church doors open up, there will be more people outside our buildings than inside our building. Yeah. So what have we learned about connecting with families in this time that we can continue to do once we're in the building?
Those are two. And you know, as many times as I've asked that question to some of the leaders on this podcast, that's the first time I've heard that. What's their behavior telling us? That's a great one, Kim. Wow.
Well, I mean, Most people, I've told people, and I've really tried to quit doing this. My kids say that I'm an interrogator. I ask tons of questions. But those why questions, a lot of people simply can't answer because they don't know.
Yeah.
And so that's why we have to really be detectives and try to, yeah, look at their behavior. And the behavior is communicating something.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's really, really good. So some leaders are struggling with how do you best use their time, and they're feeling very overwhelmed by everything in ministry and their home life. I've seen that come up in a lot of the Facebook groups too, where people are like, wow, I am really struggling with balance right now. Cause I'm doing all this extra stuff in ministry that I never thought I'd be doing. And I have to juggle my own home life. So what would you suggest for them, as they move forward in this time?
This will sound so churchy, but more Jesus, because the first two weeks of the pandemic, I was going 24/7, 100 miles an hour. It's like I had no direction. I was just, it was just not good. And then on the Sunday of, I guess it's our third week off, I was like, I can't do this. I felt like I was just incredibly emotionally unstable. And so what I did is I took this is a really unique idea. I took a Sabbath. I took a day to just sit and reflect. I spent time with the Lord. I journaled. I made meatballs because my kids love meatballs. So that's not work to me. That's fun. I talked to girlfriends on the phone, and on Monday it was like a whole new day. And I remembered, oh yes, I need to start my day with the Lord. Like before I start scrolling, I need to start with my nose in the Bible. I need to journal. I need to pray. I need to get out and take walks. So I have been every day now. I will get out at some point in the day and walk. Sometimes it's shorter, sometimes it's longer. So we can't take care of our sheep if we're limping as a shepherd.
Amen.
So I think the most important thing, and we're modeling to them what we do.
Yes.
Oh, shoot.
No,
sorry, that was... So we're modeling to our people how we should be taking care of ourselves, and we can't take care of our sheep if we're limping as a shepherd. So I would really encourage people to look at how do you abide? How do you spend time with the Lord? How are you filled up? And then do that. And that's going to put us in a much better place to do the work that God's called us to do.
Wow. And anybody who's been listening to the podcast for any length of time, you just rang every one of my bells.
Oh, good.
I mean, this is stuff that I've been preaching for a while on this podcast and in the Facebook group. And you're spot on, Kim. And the sad part is we've say this, we've even said this at, I've heard it said at conferences, and yet I still find so many leaders struggling with taking that time. I during this sabbatical, one new habit that I've started is, and it sometimes it only happens for an hour. Mm-hmm. I've been lucky a couple times. I've been able to set up a half a day and just block a half a day of my calendar. And I put on my calendar, shut up and listen. and I know that sounds so rude and crude, but I'm just like, I need to shut off everything. I need to unplug everything, and I just need to shut up and listen and stop talking at God, stop talking online, stop tweeting, stop texting, stop doing, and just open my Bible. I've found some instrumental playlists of instrumental worship that have no words, just music, and I'm just spending that time focused on listening and saying, I keep a journal open, and whatever comes to my heart, I write down. whether it makes sense or not, what I'm thinking about. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to do that. So I totally agree with what you said right there, because it's something that I think my fear is we're going to come out on the other side of this as leaders and be so exhausted and burned out that, yeah, that scares me most, because that's when we're the most vulnerable to the enemy for running us out. Right. So you wrote an article that had some fantastic ideas for ministry teams to focus on. And I want to dive into a couple of those before we run out of time. You talked about the idea of caring like a shepherd and empowering volunteers, because I think some of this comes out of, if you spend some time in soul care, you realize you need to be leading like a shepherd, and you do need to lean into other people, because you can't do this alone. And I mean, a lot of our listeners are smaller church kids pastors or volunteers, and they tend to try to do it alone. I did that for too long myself. So I'm a recovering Lone Ranger. So tell me a little bit about, would you unpack some of those thoughts that you wrote about in this article? I'm going to put that article in the show notes, because it was so good.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
I'm glad to share that with everybody too.
Well, Jesus, look at how Jesus took care of his sheep. Caring for his sheep was a priority. And in order for him to care for his sheep, he had to examine them and spend time with them. And so we need to do that too. And our volunteers, they're our sheep, and they're missing their kids. If they serve with our kids ministry on the weekend, they do it because they love kids and they want to serve them and they want them to know who Jesus is and grow in their faith. So for us to do all the work ourselves, we're stealing the joy from them of connecting mm-hmm. with the kids. So that's why we need to look for ways to empower the volunteers to send those greeting videos or to mail cards or to drop off helium balloons at a kid's house and do a, what do you call it? Ding dong ditch. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Loving
that.
Yeah.
You know, that's coming back, and that's so fun, you know, see these grandma volunteers who are tripping over, you know, plants in the front yard to try to hide from the kid before they come out.
Awesome.
But our volunteers, I think sometimes as kidmen leaders, we don't want to give extra work to other mm-hmm. people, mm-hmm. but this isn't extra work. This is the way people are serving the Lord, and we're stealing that from them.
Wow.
If we don't give them opportunities. So we need our job, I believe very strongly, should be to grow up other people who are serving kids. That's how we grow the kingdom exponentially. Mm-hmm. If it's just us doing it, it's by addition. So look for, you know, talk to your volunteers, have Zoom meetings with them where they can brainstorm ideas and share funny stories of, you know, kids getting cards and, really, really include them. And I'd also say we need to work with our church leadership to establish what our priorities are.
That's good.
Because a lot of people are getting overwhelmed because they're doing too much.
Yeah.
And so work with your senior pastor, whoever is your leader, to determine what you should be working on. And then count the cost, you know, okay, if this is going to be a priority, that means that these two things aren't going to be done or maybe won't be done to the level that I've done them in the past. But in working with the church staff, you know, we're not alone. And sometimes we kind of have that orphan mentality when working with kids, mm-hmm. like nobody cares about the kids but me.
And, yes.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not that nobody cares. It's that God gave us the passion to speak on their behalf for them. So we should be excited that we get to do that. So we need to open our mouths and talk to people about it.
Yes. Wow. Man, Kim, I'm loving this. I am loving this. Great reminders for our leaders. We only have a few minutes left, and I want to ask, so as we're moving forward, what are some of the lessons that you've been learning during this time? As you're moving forward, what are some of the things that God's been showing you and teaching you during this time?
Just that the church is so much more than the buildings. The the church is not the building. And I've heard so many people say, I can't wait to get back to the church to really take care of my sheep. Mm. I'm like, you don't have to be in the building to take care of our sheep. And actually, we're only in the building, you know, 1 or 2 hours a week. What is it, like 148 hours is in a week? So yeah, it's a teeny tiny percentage of time that we're in there. So let's look for ways that we can take care of our flock no matter where they are. Yeah. And what are the things that we can provide that nobody else can? And I think for some of us, or some that are maybe don't have the resources but are trying to do video assets, and there's all kinds of video assets out there for kids. Orange does a great job. New Spring mm-hmm. does a great job. I'm at Crossroads Kids Club. We have a whole bunch of videos that you can use because we have a team that that can produce them. So what you can do that nobody else can do, that I can't do for your community, Tom, I can't take care and know your sheep like you do. I don't even know their names, and you know what their turtles' names are. So do what only we can do and really think about what that is and prioritize that. Also, like with activities and stuff, they're getting activities from their teachers and from other places. What they may not be getting is the hope that comes through Jesus. So we need to be the ones to be delivering that, because there aren't many places that they're going to get that.
Wow. That was really great. And you got me speechless, lady. I mean, I'm mm-hmm. like, wow, that, because what you're hitting on, I really hope our listeners are grabbing to and realizing that they can be an amazing, impactful person. And we're going to be doing an Orange recap of Orange Conference, but you heard it like I did. You know, Reggie Joyner talked about the idea that if God has you in a position of leadership during this time, there's a big mission that he wants you to accomplish, and you're the only one that can do what you can do. And God has a plan, and he wants to use you. You just have to ask, Lord, what is it? What do you want me to do during this time? And who can I love during these days? And we do. We have people out there, both those in our community of faith and those that are outside, that we are now having even a greater opportunity to minister to. And you're right. You know, I hope when this pandemic's over, we don't go back to church.
No.
You know, and you know what I mean by that.
So, well, we the church as it was is not, it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
It's changed. Right. Our people have changed, our families have changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, we should just quit talking about when it gets back to normal, because we don't even know what normal's gonna be.
Yeah. And we don't know. I mean, we definitely, you know, can anticipate that. Are we going to have more things like this as the end days come? Yes, there are going to be more. I mean, the Bible tells us there's going to be more of these kind of times. And this is a time for us. I said it the other day to somebody that, you know, when you look at the book of Acts, you know, in the very beginning in Acts 1:8, you know, they're all together in Jerusalem. They're all tied up. They're all in their mm-hmm. building, you know, so to speak. And then Acts 8:1, what happened? It was a disbursement. It was a spread out. Mm-hmm. It was get out into the, you know, and the church went from Jerusalem out. And I almost feel like God's giving us another Acts 8 moment, because we've gotten too much of Acts 1:8, where we've all been in huddled in our holy huddles. And now God's saying, no, that's not what I wanted. That's not the design. That's not fulfilling the Great Commission. That's not going out and making disciples and teaching them to observe all things. And so I want you outside the walls. I want you loving everybody. And that's why I want to get into the special needs conversation with you too, because there are families out there that the church isn't reaching, and they are the most vulnerable at this time of anybody. And they're the most, probably most receptive to the church's love and God's love.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what, Tom, that's a great thing to do, is for our leaders to consider, who are the kids that are the most challenging on the weekend? Mm. Who are the kids that maybe are the most difficult to get to do what they're supposed to do? Yeah. those kids, that behavior that we see in that 1 hour week is behavior that now the parents are seeing 24/7. So if you're trying to figure out who to reach out to those families. Send them pizza, leave balloons and cards at their door and a new don't break the ice game, because can you imagine? That's hard. That's hard stuff.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And she just set up our future conversation, because that's exactly what we're going to be talking about, is how do we help those families with challenging kids? So we're going to leave it right there. But Kim, I know that, and I want you to share about how people can get in touch with you, but also how to find those resources. Because yes, you made some fantastic videos. You've been sharing them in the resource page group. I've been throwing them up there as I see you sharing them too. We want more people to get in touch with all those kind of things, because everybody's looking for things that can plug in and use, and there's lots of valuable tools out there. So how can people learn more about what you're doing and your resources?
You can, Kids Club or Crossroads Kids Club has a YouTube page. You can go on there and you can see all kinds of different videos that you are free to share with your families, you know, post them on your Facebook pages, include the links in your emails. And then when you get to that page, there's also a leader resource, a leader YouTube page. And that has videos on sensory issues and how do you talk to parents? Just different. It's the page that we use to train our volunteers, which a lot of churches also use that. So those are two ways to get our resources. You can get in touch with me on Instagram. It's at Kim Botto, KimBotto. That's probably the easiest way for people to do that.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you for making time for me during all of this. I look forward to future conversations with you.
Yeah, thank you. And you know what? And thanks for all you do, Tom, because there are so many Kidman people who are in churches without other people who share their passion for kids. So you really are filling a huge need and enable them to talk to somebody who gets and understands kids and volunteers and parents. So thank you for what you do.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to serve. I told you before, I'm just doing all I can do to help the community, because I just want more to see Jesus during this time.
Thank you.
Come to know him. So thank you. And thanks, guys, for listening to this edition of the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. Hope you'll join me again. Continue to share it with other kids pastors and kids leaders out there. If they have not heard about the podcast, point them in that direction. They can listen on any platform that they can. And if you haven't joined the Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group, we certainly invite you to come and join that group. We would love to have you join our community, where there's lots going on. There's lots of discussion, lots of resources being shared. And it's a great group to be a part of. So thanks again for listening, and join me again for another edition of the KMC. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. We hope that it's helped and encouraged you. If you would, support our podcast by continuing to share it with other leaders. And if you haven't already, hey, please subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to this podcast. We look forward to hearing from you how this podcast has helped and sharpened your skills in ministries. So let us know on your Facebook page, or head over to kmccoach.net and share with us there. And thanks again for listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast.